From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, October 8th. Coming up, farmers are trying to figure out what they can expect from the next president, whether it's Joe Biden or four more years of Donald Trump. We'll hear about the differences in ag policy between the two candidates from Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All. But first, these headlines. Most Urbana District 116 students will continue to learn remotely until at least January. As Lee Gaines reports, the district initially considered bringing elementary students back for shortened periods, but Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum announced a change in plans during a school board meeting Tuesday night.
Ivory Tatum says many Black students in the district are now classified as chronically absent because they're not engaged with remote learning. But she says they don't have enough teachers willing to return to in-person learning to make a hybrid model feasible right now. So they plan to place teachers' aides and support staff in school buildings with students while teachers instruct remotely.
It won't be, classrooms with 12 to 15 kids with a teacher, so it'll look very different, but at least some of our students who need us the most will still get some support.
Ivory Tatum says they plan to get to work immediately to invite back elementary students who are struggling while continuing to encourage older students to participate in the district's in-person learning labs. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Governor J.B. Pritzker is pushing lawmakers to pass criminal justice reform when they return to Springfield in November. The Democratic governor is offering a seven-part outline addressing criminal justice in Illinois following a summer of protests over police violence, especially toward Black and brown communities. Pritzker has been negotiating with members of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus on a package of laws, including proposals to license police officers and end cash bail.
It's something that I know is necessary. I wish we had it in place now, but, November seems like we can get it done, and I'm hopeful.
Pritzker's plan would also decriminalize minor nonviolent offenses and strengthen standards for police use of force. The governor is also proposing reducing Illinois' prison population, an idea that's gained popularity among many conservative groups in recent years. Drop, cover, and hold on. Those are the directions for everyone taking part in the annual Great Shakeout Earthquake Drill next Thursday. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Seismologist Harvey Henson is a professor at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, in a part of the state where three seismic zones overlap. He says when an earthquake strikes, instinct may tell us to run, but the wiser response is to act immediately to protect yourself against falling objects shaken loose by the quake.
So we need to almost subconsciously respond or know how to respond to that shaking. So this is why we drill.
The drill promoted in the Great Shakeout is drop to the ground, cover your head and neck with one arm and hand, and hold on to something until the quake stops. The Great Shakeout takes place internationally at 10:15 a.m. on Thursday, October 15th. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
For more information on the Great Shakeout, go to illinoisnewsroom.org. Coles County recorded its 35th death related to COVID-19 yesterday, along with 19 newly confirmed cases of the coronavirus. Meanwhile, Champaign County reported 33 new COVID-19 cases. The total number of active cases has declined for the second day in a row to 347. The University of Illinois Urbana campus reported 25 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. Data from tests conducted on Tuesday show a positivity rate of 0.24% and a rolling 7-day positivity rate of 0.28%. The latter number matched its lowest level since students returned to campus in August. Still to come, we look at the differences in ag policy between the two major party presidential candidates and whether those differences matter. That's next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Agriculture policy is not getting much attention in the run-up to the presidential election, but farmers are looking closely at what they might be able to expect from four more years of Donald Trump versus a Joe Biden administration. Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports there aren't a lot of solid answers, and any differences might not matter anyway.
Jim Mulhern says he's often asked what the next 4 years will be like depending on who wins the presidential election. The president of the National Milk Producers Federation says that really depends on how the candidates will treat trade. Mulhern says President Trump has created a mixed bag for farmers through a series of tariffs that have led to retaliation and a trade war with China and other countries.
Look, the president's been very clear. He sees the approach he's taking, this hardline approach, as one that in his mind works, and I think is likely to probably continue. We have no reason to expect anything different.
Mulhern says those trade policies have hurt many farmers, but they tend to support the overall goal of holding other countries accountable and looking for better deals. In terms of Joe Biden, Mulhern says it's less clear.
None of us can give a real strong view of what a trade policy would look like in a Biden administration, other than likely to be attempts to do trade agreements like has been done in the past.
Specifically during the Obama administration, when Biden was vice president and Tom Vilsack was the Secretary of Agriculture. Biden has presented his plan for rural America, which includes general language about trade policies that work for farmers and promoting biofuels. That's exactly what Pam Johnson wants to hear. She and her family grow corn and soybeans on 1,000 acres in northern Iowa. She says she can't make it without a U.S. commitment to ethanol and other biofuels.
My farm's success and ability to survive depends on support of that market, that domestic market.
Johnson says tariffs that end up reducing her access to foreign markets also hurt. President Trump has been hard on ethanol until September, when he announced a policy approving use of existing filling station pumps to distribute higher ethanol gasoline. Johnson says it's too little too late, and she's voting for Biden. But Scott Long says even though President Trump doesn't know a lot about agriculture, he has surrounded himself with people who do. Long, who raises cattle on 1,000 acres in southern Missouri and owns a 10-employee meat processing operation, says he likes Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue's commitment to reducing regulation.
As long as people have the right to farm and the right to run cattle or hogs, sheep, whatever they want to do, we need people in there that are going to respect that. And I think Sonny Perdue has that type of attitude toward it.
Long says Trump's hard line on trade will be worth it in the long run to all Americans, including farmers, and he supports the administration's policies. But the farm vote may not mean much this election. David Kimball is a political science professor at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. He says rural voters overwhelmingly supported Donald Trump in 2016 and will again, regardless of how they feel about his agriculture policy.
A lot of rural voters are not farmers necessarily either, so the people working in the ag industry is a fairly small portion of the American electorate, which is, I think, another reason why, you know, agriculture policy may not be top of mind for many voters.
Kimball says the only way ag might be the difference is if the election comes down to one or two swing states with large rural areas. But with issues like coronavirus, the economy, and Supreme Court nominations looming large, agriculture issues won't get much attention between now and November 3rd. Jonathan All, Harvest Public Media.
That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Lee Gaines, Hannah Meisel, Jim Meadows, and Jonathan All. Music by the Kilborn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.